You're listening to the New Old Heads podcast, shot live every Tuesday at twitch.tv/newoldheads and released every Thursday at noon via bringingdowntheband.com. The show is brought to you by Coleman Dental, Printfinity, Indie CD and Vinyl. Support the show directly by becoming a member at patreon.com/newoldheads.
You're now tuned into the New Old Heads podcast. I am Major 7. The crew is in the building. My man Jay Moore. How are you, sir?
Doing well. Just trying to maintain, you know, and keep the money going and keep things peaceful and light.
Sound real balanced and centered.
You know, that's what you got to be, man.
Yeah, I like that. My man Longevity, how are you, buddy?
Doing all right.
That sounded kind of...
Don't do that.
How are you, buddy?
How are you, buddy?
I'm doing all right.
Doing pretty good. Aggressive.
Doing all right, man. Everything good your way?
Yeah, everything's good. Yeah, actually, yeah, I do have some good news.
Yeah?
Yeah. I'll share with you guys later. But yeah.
You like good news.
Yeah.
Lyrics matter. I see you.
Mm-hmm.
My man DJ J Div, what's happening, man?
Salutations.
Jersey's fire, my guy.
Thank you.
And put it out in the atmosphere.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, see what you're doing there.
Indianapolis Clowns, one of the original Negro League teams.
I heard they had a Negro ABCs. League flashback game last week with some retro jerseys and stuff. So
yeah,
shout out
to the Indians.
Yeah, the Indians. So
Got one of those too.
You got one?
Yeah, with my name on the back.
Nice.
That's pretty cool.
I ain't gonna say that. That's dope, man. That's good.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I used to have a Negro League jacket.
Which one? What team?
With the patches on it?
Yeah. It had a whole bunch of patches, like all the teams.
The NBA.
It was like kind of green.
Like the one that Rock used to wear on.
Shout out to Charles S. Dutton.
Yeah.
He used to stay laced with Negro League stuff on the low.
He did. Shout out to Rock.
Good show, man. Did you get a chance to watch? I haven't watched them in years, but did you watch anybody watch the BET Awards and enjoy them?
You know, there are parts that I didn't, like, this is the thing. I don't watch anything live, especially when I know it'll be on YouTube.
I heard the production was trash, audio issues.
That's how it always is.
Well, they didn't have a host.
Oh, okay.
Like, Kid Capri was pretty much hosting the show for the most part.
Usually as a DJ? Light does it.
As a DJ, yeah. MC Light was doing the...
voiceover?
The going to commercial break and thing like that.
But they had Capri, like, he was just on the stage all night, just... That's interesting.
Yeah, because they were doing the 50 years of hip hop anniversary.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
They just ran through a whole bunch of different segments. So he MC'd all of that.
I did see some of the performances.
Most of the show was a concert for the most part.
I see.
Yeah.
I saw a lot of videos edited with various performances. I think they had a lot of OG. I saw Warren G and like YG and somebody for that section of the United States, and I guess I saw Fat Joe, and then
that section of the United States
of America.
Yeah, of America. Thank you. West Coast. And I don't know, man. I didn't get a chance to click on all of them. Saw a couple. Saw Red Man getting busy.
It was a little raggedy. Yeah, a little rough around.
All the new artists, you know, it's so hard for them to perform now because they have to remember their lyrics.
Well, they're not used to performing at a high level, Jay Moore, so they get by with
I think they kind of are.
You think
because
they are?
The ones that are known, that's where they get their bread and butter. I mean, we're not selling records right now. Mm. A lot of them don't even have records out. So they're touring. They're getting clubs and festivals and things of that nature. I mean, when's the last time y'all been to a festival?
Oh, I wouldn't go if I got free tickets.
Exactly.
It's been a while.
So a lot of these artists are performing through those circuits. They're not the main artists performing, but they are getting through. I don't know, man. It's basically a whole lot of the stuff we talk about on the show as far
was
as...
Was it lip syncing too?
Oh, it was a lot of that. A lot of that. Rapping over your vocals and things.
I said the wrong thing. Yeah, rapping over your vocals. Yeah.
But it just wasn't put together very well, in my personal opinion. It was okay for what it was. A lot of people were kind of enthused that it was so... I won't necessarily say ghetto, but
I've seen people say that though.
Yeah, people like to say that, and it's kind of almost a new way of saying thug, which is an old way of saying, you know what I'm saying?
I kind of try to stay away from that
connotation. But I mean, it's not the same as far as artists that we championed at one point in time, and that just makes us sound old.
Mm-hmm.
But in a sense. Our artists were on the same thing. It just was balanced out because everything wasn't all the same. Everybody wants to be that person like a old girl, a brown booty hoe.
Sexy red.
Walked around with just a stack of money out.
I saw that. That's so stupid.
Like, why?
I didn't even see this part. Walking around with bread out like this?
Yeah, just a stack of money.
Once you get tired of holding the money, like...
Like, it must have been her advance or something. I don't know.
Probably was her.
She literally walked around with
all
the
money she had.
All night.
Look, y'all, I'm about to blow all of this. I just got.
I'm just going
to
Because the thing is, you know, and you know what? Any of these young people, I wish the best for them, even if I don't like what they're doing artistically. And I don't care for what she's doing artistically. But, you know, hey, the thing is, this might be your biggest moment right now.
Yeah.
You know, talking about, you know, singing nasty stuff instead of in front of Dr. Bobby Jones. Did y'all see that video?
I did not.
Seen it.
Yeah.
please tell me this.
Oh, yeah. Well, basically, like, the crowd was singing her song.
She performed?
Yeah. No, but she was just in the crowd.
And, oh, okay.
And she was performing in the crowd.
Yeah. And some other girl in a inappropriate dress who was pregnant started twerking alongside her, and like
that's Krishan Rock. That's Blueface's baby.
Not
see,
her.
I don't know who these people are.
Lone was so hurt.
And so, but it's just funny. Like the show, like Dr. Bobby Jones sitting there. I was like, yeah, this might be his last BET Awards.
Dr. Bobby Probably Jones so. Ain't coming back for that, man.
Yeah, he's like, no. I mean, so he was like, well,
I saw Boosie in the crowd. You know, fresh out.
He was there with his attorneys. He's like, hey,
smart
I'm
man.
Up anywhere, I'm gonna have legal representation.
I did see an IG video somebody posted where he was like, BET, I need 3 tickets, man. Me and my lawyers is coming. And then the next thing you know, they was there.
Look, man, yeah, I know a lot of people do not like Boosie for whatever reason.
I love Boosie.
But I tell you what, like, if I've ever seen something where I've seen it really somebody who is being railroaded, and this is a miscarriage of justice, and is being targeted by the federal government, and we should never be excited for somebody, especially somebody black, to be targeted by the federal government like this. I don't care what you care about what he said about gay people or the fact that he still listens to R. Kelly. Like, what they're doing to him is wrong.
Your cousin still listen to R. Kelly. I don't mean that.
Shoot, you know how many, look, a lot, like I said, I'm out.
I know.
I sneak around. I hear a lot of you DJs sneaking in R. Kelly songs back in.
On the low. No, that can't be on the low.
I ain't gonna lie to you. I didn't ran one here and there.
In the past, how many years,
Terry? Bring shame back, Terry.
Shame blows. Shame.
You know what? I want to say this, and I don't want to be scrutinized.
You probably will.
We're scrutinized every week.
Listen, man, I feel like I believe I can fly. Should get a pass. I honestly believe that sometimes you just need to hear that song. Like, I'm not even playing.
You know
not
what?
Joking.
You know what, man? If there was a pass to be given.
Because we know that one's not about
crime. It has to be that one.
Come on, man. I believe
I can
fly.
It has to be that one.
You don't feel like if you're having a down day and you need some uplifting.
You just want to fly. That's a good record for it.
That's a good, that is that's
not
a good
how
song.
That's not how I go.
Look, and the thing is, I feel the same way about I Wish.
Yeah, see?
Certain thing when
some things should get a pass.
Yeah, you know, if you're missing somebody who's not here.
I Believe I Can Fly is a great record.
I Wish kind of hits a certain way.
Yeah, absolutely.
Did y'all see the Keith Murray video?
Yeah. Unfortunately, yes.
Did we all see that?
Down bad.
He's getting some pushback for actually posting the video. Now, some people came out and said that he's wrong for recording Keith Murray. So I'm like, this is not Lord Jamar that's recording this. I saw a TikTok, whatever you want to call it, name of somebody. So right. It wasn't his, right? So, and the plus, the person that was talking was younger. Fair or foul, man, in terms of him getting backlash for posting this. Ninth Wonder, Doodlebug from Diggable Planets. Sorry.
Mush mouth action.
I mean, Doodlebug.
Doodlebug.
Doodlebug and Diggable Planets. That's a lot. Now
Doodlebug from the Diggable Planets.
That's too much doodling going on.
OBKB.
And Immortal Technique, their comments were more positive, right? But there's some people that were like, man, he's foul for posting this. This ain't funny. Reach out to him in person. So what are you guys' thoughts on this in terms of Lord Jamar? Because it sounds like it was coming from a good place. Jay Moore, what you think?
I don't know if it was coming from a good place.
You don't think so?
Because, look, I'll just make, if I saw a video.
Now, these guys are peers now, coming up around the same age.
If I saw a video. And say we weren't doing this podcast anymore, and it's years down the line, whatever.
Right.
And I see a video of one of the three of you like this, and we haven't spoken in a while for whatever reason.
Uh-huh.
I'm not going. And if I have your number or at least have your social media contacts, I'm going to be like, hey, man, what's really going on? I what the what was the point in him reposting this to the world? Even if they did, you know, because he may seem like, you know, they're not the closest of friends. They've had some personal issue. But even if that is the case, if somebody as your peer, somebody, you know, in the rap game that you know, and you, and like I said, it does it look like drugs to me? Yeah, it looks like drugs.
It
to
does,
me.
Right?
That
right.
Doesn't, I've never been drunk and done that.
Yeah.
Nah.
Well,
nah.
Yeah, you know, so well, it's something else.
Agreed, Lone. Agreed.
So I'm just saying, I don't want to say he did it for clout. You know what I'm saying? Lord Jamar is you know, for as far as I'm concerned, not by much, but he's an elder.
Yeah.
You know, maybe he doesn't understand exactly how some of these things look, and maybe he really thought he was doing the right thing. But my first inclination, if it was anybody I knew, mm-hmm. even if we hadn't spoken in a while and we had some issue, if I could get in contact with some part of your family, or I could get in contact with you directly, I wouldn't put a picture of you like being down bad on my Insta. Because what are you? You're inviting the view people eyes onto this who don't know this man and are either going to just feel sorry for him, kick him while he's down, or laugh.
What about those that would argue? What about those that would argue it's already out?
Yeah, it's all. If it's already out, then I don't need to repost it.
You don't need fair to amplify
enough.
It.
Fair enough.
Don't amplify. I would not amplify something that if I have genuine love for somebody,
can you
even if it's on the peripheral, why would I? My first thing is like, let me reach out and to his people and we got to see what's going on.
Can you truly amplify something that is already viral?
Yes, because if you can amplify, because I don't.
That's why I know about it.
Yeah, because okay. Once again,
I'm just throwing it out there. I'm just asking.
I wouldn't know about this. You know, I saw the video on Lord Jamar's page.
That's where I saw it.
Okay, so there you go, right there.
All right.
So I wouldn't. If anything, you driving traffic to this person who took the video, who probably doesn't have that same love for Keith Murray, who put this up for clout, who put this up to make fun of him. You know, right. To kick somebody when they're down.
He was actually laughing in the video.
Yeah. So. I'm, you know,
which I thought was tasteless. That,
so
that's
if you're gonna do all that, you know what I'm saying? Like I said, reposting the video is probably the third, fourth, maybe fifth thing that would be on my mind if I saw somebody that, even if I just have a little bit of love for him as an artist, maybe not even as a person.
Right.
The last thing on my mind is reposting this and saying, hey, y'all, he needs help. If he needs help,
reach out to him and
see if he really needs help, or reach out to the people who could potentially help him.
What you think, Long? What are your thoughts on the video?
I agree.
You agree with Jay Moore?
Yeah, I agree with Jay Moore. And the reason why is because, like, I do content. So I saw this video. Uh-huh. And I was like, I know that if I would have shared this video, it would probably be sitting at 50, 60, 70,000, maybe more views right now.
I respect that.
I didn't do it because it was like, nah, that's bad taste. And I don't know Keith Murray. You know, I don't know him. But it's just, I don't know. There's just certain lines. And to your point, maybe there's a part of Lord Jamar that thought that he was amplifying this in a way to try to spread a pot. I don't know. Like,
no, he didn't. He's lying.
I don't know. But that's my thing. I don't know what. I was trying to pull the Instagram video up, but I can't find it. So I don't know what exactly he said in his caption, but I'd be curious to what he said in his caption, because if I knew that, then I could make a better determination. But
the caption was more about, we need to get this brother some help. And I'm paraphrasing here, but we need to get this brother some help. Let's try to reach out to him. Let's try to lift him up. Kind of along that line, the way I understood it, the way I read it.
It seems performative. He knew that if he posted the video too, more mm-hmm. people were going to watch it as well. And it's mm-hmm. going to draw more attention to it, maybe to what he's saying, but you're still drawing attention to it in a negative way. I don't know. To me, it's we see a lot of this, mm-hmm. you know, to me, this is no different than people that glorify the, you know, the academics thing with Chirac or the.
Oh, I see.
Or stuff like that. It's very in a similar mind. It's like stuff that you don't want to see, but you're still pushing the content out there.
Let me ask you this. Is this similar to, you mentioned not posting it, right? Mm-hmm. Because it's just morally, like, you just thought, you felt weird about it. You felt wrong about it. Is what he did similar to what people say when I say they, the industry? Accuse No Jumper, Vlad, when they post up, is this, do you look at Lord Jamar the same way?
In this particular scenario right here, yes. This is very, very similar to what No Jumper does. I don't know about Vlad necessarily, but...
If somebody die, he gonna post it.
Yeah, but...
But
that's different because it's his content about... typically when he does that, he's captured... capitalizing off of the
100%.
Death. But he's also posting original content, not necessarily about the person dying. He's posting about that person because they are popular in that moment and more people are going to be searching. It's different to me to amplify a specific situation that's happening as opposed to playing the algorithm.
Okay.
I would compare it to when people take a video of Delonte West. When he's sleeping under a bridge, where you can tell he's clearly
working
high.
Working at the car wash.
Or, he's clearly down bad. And it won't even, because, you know, I mean, maybe.
That's a good comparison.
I'll play White Devil's Advocate here and say, you know, because once those videos came out, you know, I remember Mark Cuban reaching out and trying to get some help for Delonte West and get him into rehab, you know. And maybe, Lord Jamar is thinking something along those lines.
It's deep, possible. Deep down in there, you think that might be.
I want to believe, you know, that Lord Jamar isn't just doing this out of clout chasing and being mean spirited.
Okay,
you know, so maybe that's where he's coming from. But at the same time, because I can always say what I would do.
Sure,
you know, like I said, I wouldn't do that to any of y'all or anybody that I know if I saw a video like this and it was somebody I knew. If I had the wherewithal and the resources to reach out to them, you know, I would do that. And then if I had extended resources beyond that, I would see if I could help them.
Terry, you sound like you're not going 100%, man.
No, because first of all, who is he getting to help him by posting this on his social media platform? You know what I'm saying? As a friend, who are you getting to help me going through something by posting it on your social media
platform?
All right,
so let me do devil's advocate. Okay, go ahead.
If that was the case, all you had to do was, I mean, everybody's seen the option where you just put the black screen up and you type something.
Yeah.
Hey, can everybody say a prayer for such and such? You might be, you know what I'm saying? Good you point. Might be in Good need point. Of some assistance, blah, blah, blah. Reach out to me if you can help so that we can pull together and get something going.
Right.
Versus that's performative. You know what I'm saying? That's just trying to show him down bad. And what's crazy is he performed at the BET Awards and then missed a beat.
That's true.
But the thing about it is, if he has a problem, a lot of people are functioning addicts or drunks or alcoholics, you know, things of that nature. I don't know exactly what's going on with him, but I mean, he's been in the news a little bit here lately because the antics he showed when he did that interview not too long ago.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So everybody knew something was going on.
But Keith has been a wild boy.
He's been a wild boy, but I mean, there's levels to it though.
This is true.
The Art of Dialogue series, it definitely was. It was some stuff going on in that where people was like, something's going on.
So
that's true. That's a good point.
As far as him showing that footage, I just don't think that was needed.
No, I
should have been offended.
I remember Keith Murray performing here. This is years ago. This was close to when I first moved here. This is how long ago was it? Spin. And I don't, do y'all even remember that?
Yeah, I remember Spin.
The last, no.
I'm sleeping.
Spin is now lava.
It's lava now. It's been, it's been like three or four
years. I went to the very last Spin show that they had, and that was the first time that I went.
Yeah, so
before the patio,
I just remember him doing like the same song three times, and then like he took some people on his tour bus or van or whatever he had, and it was different, you know. Like I could tell like he was on one then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you know, but at the same time, as you age, like you being a wild boy, it doesn't come off the same way.
Yeah, your problems age
now
with
just,
you and
yeah now it just seems
beast.
Like you are you have a substance abuse problem.
Yeah.
Y'all right. Good point, Terry, about the BET Awards. Because I saw that performance. Him, Redman, I think E. Sermon.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I saw that. Fan was in the pocket. Like, he was killing it. Everything was cool. I don't know how soon or how recent the video that posted was.
Know when the video was.
I don't know what that, you know, I don't know the timeline for that, but it's still the same person, right? Terry talked about functioning. But yeah, man, it's been mixed reviews in terms of how people are looking at, excuse me, Lord Jamar himself posting it.
Yeah, help your friends on the low, man. It doesn't need to be public.
Yeah.
I mean, my father, the one thing my father used to always tell me is everybody don't need to know everything.
Nah.
He used to say that all the time. So, yeah, and to your point, Terry.
And even to like what we're talking about, like I don't think we should center the conversation around Lord Jamar. The conversation needs to be around Keith Murray.
Well said, Long.
You know what
well
I mean? Said. Like, sure, maybe it was done out of bad taste, but, you know.
At the end of the day, it's about him getting help.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And I think it might have been Ninth who was going more along the lines of what you just said, Long, about let's focus on, you know, reaching out to his brother to see if we can get him some help. You know, so I don't know, Knife may not have seen it until Lord Jamar posted it. He might be a person that might actually take action on the low based off seeing the post. Mm-hmm. So there's, you know what I'm saying? There's levels to it, the way that we look at it, but on his face value, I understand what Terry's saying. I understand what Jay Moore is saying. Actually, all of y'all.
There's just things that you can do within a realm of taste.
Yeah.
You know, there's always ways to get to point from point A to point B faster.
Right.
You know, but it's just like.
Because it's about the outcome. It's about outcome in terms of helping him out. That's what it's really about.
Yeah. But, you know, at the same time, like you there's certain things you just don't have to do. Like, you know, it's just with everything. But yeah.
No, I can dig it. I can dig.
He probably never liked him in the first place for him to do him like that, though.
I mean, they have some, you know, he alludes that they have some personal issue.
He seems, I mean, but Lord Jamar has problems with a lot of people.
He does.
So. That's true. That's a good point. When I saw it, I was hoping that that's not the case. But everybody is making valid points in terms of, you know, there's always pros and cons. And there's a gray area to things. But everything that y'all have said, that you guys are saying is legitimate.
And you might, you know what? It's legitimate. You might have just called him at a really bad moment. Or went a point where, like, he was high or drunk or both. And he was just on one. And he woke up the next day and he was sober and he got back to work.
There was another video of somebody else. Now, again, we do not know timelines. I can't confirm that. But there was another guy that had a TikTok video pulling up to Keith Murray, what looked like his crib or wherever he was, saying, "Run me my money," like Keith Murray, or owed him some money. Keith Murray was in the front yard screaming and yelling, saying, "You know, get off my property." I'm, you know, just whatever the conversation was. But I'm like, would I have seen that video if the first one didn't come out?
No.
Like, that's clout. Like, to me, that's even worse in terms of clout chasing and pulling up on that man's crib. You know what I'm saying?
Like, we know how the internet works.
Right.
You know, like, there's no, like, pretending around. Like, he knew that it was going to get clicks.
It's just how the, look, you said it best. That's how the internet works. Like, there's this dude who played in, like, the high school, like, leagues with LeBron and Carmelo, named Lenny Cook.
Yeah.
And I watched one Lenny Cook thing. For whatever reason, he's on this press run right now.
Yeah.
And he was talking to Cameron and Mace. And like now, every time I, you know, open my YouTube, something about Lenny Cook comes up. You know what I'm saying? It's like, I'm not that interested in Lenny Cook.
Lenny Cook wasn't Lenny Cook wasn't forgotten, but Lenny Cook was not in the algorithm prior to, you said, going out with Mace. And to your point about the internet working.
Yeah, he's on, like I said, he's on some kind of sort of press run now where all these people are talking.
Might
to
have
him.
A book. I don't know. He might have some coming out.
It's a LeBron movie, right?
I think there's a LeBron movie on Peacock. But once again, that's just, I don't know. Like I said, we're always battling the algorithm. Like, I do not subscribe to Drink Champs.
Right.
But because it just feels like, oh, whoa.
It's going to pop up anyway it'll be similar to stuff that you
similar
watch.
To our podcast. So I was
exactly.
Like, I hope our podcast sometimes pops up after somebody watches Drink Champs.
Yeah.
I doubt it. But
have y'all seen what Funk Flex posts on his Instagram now?
As it relates to this?
It's nothing musical. All clickbait stuff.
Like Pete Rock type stuff, kind of.
Yes.
But Pete kind of.
Everything that he posts.
I don't follow Flex. Like, give me examples. Every type of stuff he posts.
So, like,
just stuff that's going to go viral.
Yeah,
type
that's
thing.
It. He doesn't post anything that has anything to do
with
his profession.
Okay.
It's just.
He's just playing the algorithm.
Yeah, that's all it is.
It's corny.
Very. Mm-hmm. Especially when you're in a position that you can use it for.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Your profession.
Yep.
Professionally. Like, make it look right.
Because people would follow Flex for posting almost anything about anybody.
So there's no videos of him, like, out in the club spinning or, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know how you get the view of the DJ with the crowd and everything. There's none of that.
He was slipping and falling and stuff like that.
That's weird.
For him being who he is, that's extremely corny. For him being who he is as legendary.
For the guy that likes to call a lot of people corny. That's
true.
Really corny,
but that's the approach some people use. You know, it's just like, I'm just going to play on the attention aspect. But I feel like if you're going to do that, you have to have something that you're going to push. So it'd be weird to
just do random stuff
I don't know. Anyways,
well, at the end of the day, man, I hope Keith Murray get the help that he needs. Because
if he needs help,
you're right. I ain't gonna put something on him that I don't know about.
Could have really caught him just in a bad moment where he was wilding or being silly and like I said. Addiction looks different to everybody. Like I said, because he just performed, but there are functioning addicts who can get on stage and be, you know, and hit every step and remember every lyric.
That wasn't normal.
you know.
That was not normal.
That video was not normal.
I agree. That's not normal.
Yeah. So, but once again, we don't even know when it's from.
True. Shout out to Keith Murray, man. All right, man, let's go back to the BET Awards. Let's talk Busta. Shout out to Busta, first of all, for getting Lifetime Achievement Award. I think it's well-deserved. Mm-hmm. OG, legend.
And still puts out top. Extinction Level Event 2.
Thank you.
Was excellent.
Thank you.
So let's just go ahead. If you did not visit that album when it came out, I guess now a couple of years ago.
He said something, though.
It's a great record.
He said something on his acceptance speech in a little press. He said he pioneered the feature as he was coming up and post Leaders of the New School. And I used to go to the studio and just kind of be around and ended up writing verses and jumping on stuff because it was so dope. But I sat back and thought about it. As it relates to hip hop features, he might have a point. For artists that really jump on records and just destroy them every single time as a feature, I mean, what other names do we have out there that would go against what he said? Because I think he has a valid point in terms of pioneering the feature. When you think about people jumping on records,
he had a time where he kind of championed that feature.
I don't know if it's like Busta.
Drake, of course.
Andre, of course.
But that's Andre.
Three Stacks.
Yeah, but if we're talking about pioneering it.
Yeah.
That's the word. Pioneering the feature. Those were his words.
We can make a real argument for that because
I think so.
After Leaders of the New School broke up, okay, you know, Buster talks about it was hard for him to try to write an entire album.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So there were a lot of songs that a lot of people don't even remember, didn't even hear. Buster would be like, okay, $1,500 to do this with the artifacts. Okay, let's go.
Let's go.
You know, $3,000 because I had to pay bills.
Got to feed my son.
You know, and so because he was a member of a group. That was how Leaders of New School was set up for him.
Yeah.
He was always a star, though.
He was always a star. Facts. But you know what? If you talk to people at that time, at one point, they're like, well, you know, maybe Charlie Brown's going to be the guy.
I'd have been like, nah. I mean, I always thought
Busta Rhymes had a more of a spark than Charlie Brown.
I can see where you would say that. And, you know, I mean, but shout out to Dinko D.
Shout out to Dinko. Yep.
We're probably missing somebody, but that is what it is. But here it is, like, for you to say, you know, for you to think, okay, I'm in a group. Then they're like, okay, now you're a solo act because the group is no more.
Right.
And it's like, okay, I only got a 16 for him here and there. There are plenty there. Like, we know all the stuff after, you know, we know Flavor in Your Ear. We know Look at Me Now with Chris Brown. We know, you know, this when he would jump on, you know, Lil Jon remixes. We know all that stuff, you know. But there was a period between the Leaders of the New School and his first album, the end of Leaders of the New School, and his first album as a solo artist in 1996. Where he was jumping on a lot of stuff that we don't even remember. So when he talks about pioneering the feature, you know, of course we think about like, of course, Scenario remix. But also it's because if you listen to rap before a certain period, if you bought so-and-so's album, you got so-and-so and that's it.
Right.
A feature, somebody like, you know, when Big Daddy Kane and Ice Cube got on Public Enemy's Burn, Hollywood Burn, that was a big deal. Because you didn't get people who jumped on, you know, listen to almost any hip hop album before, say, like 1990. Like, you didn't get features from anybody, even if it was somebody in your crew.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So when he talks about
he pioneered the consistent feature.
Yeah,
because Run DMC kind of pioneered the feature, so to speak, in hip hop with Aerosmith.
That was a one-off.
I call that a one-off.
But it was a feature.
But it's a feature.
But it was a big deal because it was a feature. Because if you listen,
it hadn't been done.
Yeah, because if you listen to all of Run DMC's, their first four or five albums, it's Run DMC and that's it. Basically, they had one feature for that first five album run. Mm-hmm. You didn't hear any LL Cool J. You got an LL Cool J album. It wasn't even an R&B feature was something that was kind of unheard of at the time. So, you know, if you really do your Googles and look up Busta Rhymes, like I sometimes people are like,
well, his crew
doing too much.
That whole crew,
what, Native Tongue?
Native Tongue. They all kind of.
They would do
it back and forth. So you had
Q-Tip would wind up on a De La Soul record.
Exactly. Queen Latifah and Moni Love doing stuff together.
The Posse Cut was still new.
Yes.
Jungle Brothers.
A Posse, because, you know, when you think about what the Symphony, that was a big deal.
Yeah, with Marley Marl.
Then when you think about Posse Cuts, those are some of the first.
Because Tribe got Busta features that are fire.
Of course.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's around that time, like, he was popping. He was really popping out. The story was dope.
Even if they just sampled his voice, like, on Oh My God, on Lewin Theory.
What's the joint on Midnight Marauders?
I'm sorry.
God lives through.
God lives through. And Oh My God is on Midnight Marauders.
Yeah, like, come on, man. Like, and the fact that he said he used to say, I forgot my rhyme book in here last night, but he was steady calling the studio to see who was in the studio. This is brilliant how he got to all those features. Mm-hmm. Like, just calling a person, being like, yo, who's working tonight? And then acting like he was working in there the night before. Mm-hmm. And it ended up being, you know, passing the weed around and writing the 16. I think that's dope. And he was like, I fed my family that way.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So I respect the hustle. But I think he's right, man, because he's definitely one of the first ones to consistently murder stuff that he was a guest on.
He set the blueprint for Lil Wayne.
Wayne took it. Man, did Wayne take it, though?
No, Wayne is kind of a different beast when it comes to that.
To the features?
Yeah, I think it's a little different when it comes to Wayne. And I ain't taking nothing away from Busta.
Wayne, it was a point where Wayne would hop on anything.
Anything.
What you got, Lon?
Nothing. No,
it sounded like you was about to say something. That's why I asked.
No, I don't really have anything. I agree with the Wayne part. I don't know if I'd agree with the Buster or not. I think it makes sense. But I also like Terry's point, you know, about like who really pioneered the feature, like who really showed people that, you know, you can,
that this is okay,
this
to
is
do,
okay to do, you know, because of how music kind of was. Mm-hmm. But as far as like early Buster, it makes sense in my mind. But
yeah.
And I don't know if I'm forgetting somebody, but I think the Wayne's era was just a different era because featuring wasn't
such a big deal.
It was a thing. Everybody was doing it at that point. You know what I mean?
Agreed.
So I feel like Andre's is maybe even, I like Andre's because he's so select with it. You know,
Andre was good at doing records where I wouldn't see it coming, but I got excited. Like it's
like Walk It Out
or the joint with Badu. Or
throw some D's on it.
Green Light with John Legend.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't see those. I wouldn't.
Green Light made more sense to me. Than Walk It Out and Throw Some D's on it because John Legend was an established artist at that time. These were their first songs.
They were.
And Dre heard them, was like, I'm gonna go ahead and drop a gem on these.
Shoot, it was their last song.
Yeah, I mean, first and last.
I mean, Andre was kind of dissing them on their own song, or dissing the whole fan base on Walk It Out.
Yeah, it was.
If you go back and listen, yeah.
Kind
of. Yeah.
Talking about classic cars and take that thing two sizes down.
Mm-hmm.
You out here walking around in something look like a nightgown.
Man, I was so disappointed hearing Killer Mike backtrack about the possibility of Dre's quote-unquote album. Did y'all see that?
He trolled the world.
Yeah,
man, he had me, though.
Trolled the world.
Oh, he backtracked it?
Yeah. He backtracked. He was like, man, what'd he say?
He said I was drunk
or something like that. But he had me going when he was like, man, I heard X amount of records. We flying out next month to hear it and listen to it.
The whole thing was, even if it's true, he probably wasn't supposed to say anything.
He wasn't supposed to say it. Yeah. That's the whole point.
You give it a guy who's already got anxiety about releasing music.
Yeah, because now you set an expectation.
Now there's an expectation, which he really literally talked about in his interview with Rick Rubin.
We're about to have a Dr. Dre situation. We'll never hear the chronic.
He said, bro.
Mike.
It goes back to what we just talked about.
Ruin it for everyone.
About.
We just praised you.
Just amping up a situation. He didn't have to do that if that was the case. Because I fell for it.
It's a slip up. I fell for it.
He was feeling good out that all.
Yeah. Off
putting out a really good project.
Mike, the record's still fire though. You ain't have to send us off with the Dre joint.
And he is going on tour. Some of them are festival acts. He's not coming to our city, unfortunately. The closest place that we can reach him at will be Chicago.
That's usually what it is.
Pitchfork.
Yep. He's taking a choir with him.
Yeah.
I want to see old girl.
Track
sing
stars
live.
Going with him.
Yep.
Nice.
Yeah.
I saw a video for, it had been out about a month or so, which I didn't realize, but the joint about his mom, there's a video for it that is beautiful.
Mm. Motherless?
There's a video that goes with it that is incredible, man. Yep. So
I added that to Turn Off Your Radio about a month ago.
Yeah, I was asleep, but shout out to him on that video. But yeah, man, he sent me off because I got hyped.
Somebody actually asked in our comments, how do you get on the Turn Off Your Radio playlist? And the answer is, I don't know. I do it and I don't know.
Long. He's the man. So this, you can't get good. You can't get higher than him.
Drop something good and hope that I see it. Because I have no submission system anymore. I don't do any of that right now. I just don't have time for it. So I hope I see it. Sorry.
But they say if it's dope, you'll find it.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, Turn Off Your Radio and the playlisting has just been something I do in my spare time ever since we kind of stopped. It's just kind of like I see something on YouTube, cool. And to get added to the playlist, it's literally just hit the like button, add it to the playlist. That's all I do. So it's not even like a major, like, all right, let me sit down.
And a whole lot of thought.
You got some good stuff on there. There's some records that have saved.
Like, oh, I know.
And you know, there's just enough for me to hear how dope it is. I'm like, yeah, I got to go back to that one. I've written down, well, I've saved multiple joints off those. So kudos to you, man, because it's some artists I didn't even know about.
Yeah, thanks, but I know. I have a gift.
Thanks to our partners. Dr. Coleman of Coleman Dental is our go-to dentist. He's a longtime Indianapolis arts and music supporter located right in Broad Ripple. Printfinity is a screen printing shop based in Indianapolis, owned and operated by our own DJ J Diff. Our good friends at Indy CD and Vinyl operate one of the best record stores in North America. Shop new and used in their site or visit them in person. And the best way to support the New Old Heads is to visit our Patreon and become a member for as little as $3 a month. All details on newoldheads.com.
All right, we are back. Shout out to our partners as always. Jay Moore is giggling with Lone about something on the phone that I can't see, and
it's funny.
Man, I can't see it, but I'm going to take your word for it. But shout out to the partners as always. We appreciate those relationships and hope to continue to grow those. Shout out to the chat as well. All right, man. So apparently some of y'all have pissed off Kid Capri as it relates to the brother Eminem. We've talked about a lot on this show. Mm-hmm. He says...
We're about to give Kid Capri this work.
Hey, I knew you was going to say that. So he was on a podcast. I think it's called the Hip Hop Made podcast. But the main headline says, you're mad because he's doing black stuff better than you are. Mm-hmm. And this is as it relates
Who's
to
mad?
Just Eminem haters. He's addressing people that hate Eminem for no reason. He said, everybody goes... And I'm going to read the quote from Capri. He said... Everybody goes by the popularity of the person instead of the real skill set. Everybody keep going at Eminem because he's white. You're mad because he's doing black stuff better than you are. That's what it is. The boy is nice. You can't take that from him. Wisely use his name in your mouth every time. That boy is nice. You can't F with him on the stage at all. So Kid Capri ain't having it. You know, we've had our share of Eminem jokes and we've talked about what his music does, how it performs and how it doesn't. We've never said that he's not nice. But Kid Capri is not going, Jay Moore. Based off the comments that he just said to that, you say what?
I'll say, Kid Capri, go ahead and rock a party. And you just play Eminem for a whole hour and see how the crowd reacts.
Try 10 minutes or 20 minutes. Can you do 20 minutes?
You know, and I'm
20
saying,
minute Eminem
no,
set, yeah.
I'm saying off his albums. You know what I'm saying? Go ahead and play your favorite songs off of Relapse, Kid Capri.
For 20 minutes.
Just go ahead and just run joints from Relapse and Encore and Recovery and see how the room actually look. Yes, we have said many times Eminem is an Omega level like wordsmith.
Facts.
You know what I'm saying?
Facts.
But at the same, as far as making songs and making slaps, I'm sorry. That's what the components is missing. There are whole Eminem records that I will never listen to ever again.
Man, that's tough.
You know what I'm saying? I can't think of an Eminem record that I've when I've said what was the second one? The Eminem Show,
Marshall Mathers
LP. I remember really enjoying that album, and that's really where
that was good. It was a good album.
That album was dope.
That's really where it stops, kind of as far as me enjoying an entire Eminem album. You know, like there's nothing like when I think about great. First of all, we talk about him doing black stuff better than, but that's when people start to bring that sales argument in.
Yep.
And
okay.
I don't care nothing about them sales.
Or the technicality aspect.
You know, because...
Which he thrives in both.
That's great. That is great. But you know what? Like, when I talk about, as somebody who's in the mainstream and the underground hip-hop clubs, like, don't nobody play them Eminem songs. They might play a song where he's got a feature and he snaps. But, I mean, calm down. Kid Capri, we love you. You are a part of hip hop that is cannot be denied. But when you say these things, I kind of get where you're coming from. But once again, I challenge you as somebody who is a nobody and you are Kid Capri to go to one of your sets and be like, I'm gonna play Eminem songs off of his albums.
I can attest
for an hour.
I can attest that Kid Capri is here every year for either Black Expo or the Circle City Classic, DJing an all-white party or some kind of variation of such.
He can't even play Eminem at an all-white party?
He does not play Eminem at none of these.
That's a bar.
That's what I was trying to say. He stole my bar from
me. Oh, he did?
And then he gave him the bar.
That's a bar right there.
So that's how it goes.
I like that.
But anyway, he's not playing that in none of these parties. So how does he go on to say, this is the thing about music too, although the hip-hop culture is black, essentially, mm-hmm. there's more people involved in it now. So it's not, it evolved from being only black to being something where there's a lot of cultures and other cultures involved in the culture as well.
It's much more diverse.
But you can't say that you don't like Eminem because he's doing black stuff better than you. That just doesn't make sense. Where at one point in time, most of his fan base didn't even like hip hop. They only liked it because it was a white dude that was rapping, and he raps very well. Never said he doesn't rap very well, and he's not. He's, in my personal opinion, if I want to be square, if I want to be frank, he's top 10 artists of all time. It's just not somebody that I prefer to listen to.
What if I told you, Terry, stay here. What if I told you that his comments are still more focused on the skill set versus totality? Because he starts off talking about...
What does
about,
that mean, though?
When we say totality, I'm talking about... We meant sales,
How does skill set make you black?
I think what he's trying to focus on the first line is how nice he is. He keeps going back talking about that boy's nice.
He's nice.
How nice he is. His real skill set versus this and versus popularity. So I think the majority of it is about how nice he is versus... Now, he missed me with the black... He missed me with that.
But I think that's the entire argument, though.
Yeah, that's what...
But I feel like there's more in here outside of that where he's kind of mentioning how nice he is and just recognizing how nice he is. But to your point, that's the headline. The black part is... That's the line.
I mean, we can all acknowledge it, and we have, I feel like, a bazillion times. We can acknowledge that, like Jay just said, like Terry just said, Eminem can rap really well.
Yeah.
From a technical standpoint, he can do it.
He's nice.
Does anybody here sitting at this table enjoy just generally listening to Eminem in our regular playlist?
No.
I haven't since the same thing you said, the Marshall Mathers LP or the
second
album.
None of his songs pop up in my yearly wrap-up that whatever listening device or whatever streaming device I use... At the end of the year, none of his songs pop up.
And he does have good features from time to time.
He does.
But as far as, like, you know, can he rap to that aspect of what his argument is? Yes. But nobody has ever said that he can't. Nobody has ever said that. That's never the argument. So why are we still doing this?
It has nothing to do with being black. That's like essentially saying if you have like a Michael Jackson and Prince debate, certain people can't listen to him because they can't understand it because they're black and he's not, and they're not, you know what I'm saying? It's one of those type things to me, essentially.
So I just don't reach.
I don't get that. It's just, look, if he knows how to rap, he knows how to rap. Simple as that. But his fan base, until he start calling out these pretty much bigots, were people that don't rock with hip hop.
True.
And aren't black. So I can't G for somebody calling somebody or saying his style is more black than black people, essentially.
Right.
It doesn't make any sense.
It's silly. It's super silly.
You know, and I look, it's just like when I think of, does Eminem have a PSA? Like Jay-Z's got PSA, which is guaranteed to tear the roof off of any venue if played at the right time. And mm-hmm. DJ really knows what they're doing. Does he have even a Nas's Made You Look? You know, does he have one of those songs where, like, if
I would
you
say
put it
lose
on,
yourself.
Probably, but I don't
maybe
think he.
Lose
I, don't,
yourself.
I don't think he does for like a hip hop crowd.
Nah,
not even Lose Yourself. Like we
Lose Yourself,
have,
you got to be in a mood, like for real, to hear Lose Yourself.
We don't even. We can get away with not playing Lose Yourself at Coaches for
you
an
don't have
year.
To. You yeah. don't have to be to your point.
I've never heard Lose Yourself at Coaches.
No, you haven't.
You probably won't either. Yeah. To your point, though, you don't have to be in a mood. Go crazy when PSA come on. To y'all point,
nah.
So I understand that. I get it.
Eminem does not make jams. Does not make jams.
That's all we've ever
jams.
Said.
He doesn't
he
make
can
jams.
Rapping. He's an incredible wordsmith.
Incredible MC.
He can put together words like no other.
He can make emotional
does not
related songs.
Yeah, make jams.
There's no
and
jams.
Like, and like you know, and the thing is, I've heard. Yeah, and that's the crazy thing. He has the potential to make jams. He just doesn't do it. Yeah.
I mean, he got a lot to. I mean.
Or he just hasn't done it.
We know his catalog, like which is kind of the area you're going into, long. Like there's substance, depth, He touches on a lot of stuff, personal stuff, yep. like storytelling, all that type of stuff. I appreciate that. Stan, that's a dope record.
He got some cuts. He got some great features.
Yep. He does.
We were just having a feature.
Stan, once yep. again, right. off of the Eminem show.
Yep. Record is
or,
amazing.
Or off of, yeah.
That record is amazing. But you hit it on the head with the DJ set. And that, there's no way you can do it. You said 10 minutes. You're right.
I mean, just 10 minutes.
10 minutes, you might be able to figure out what features and stuff he's done with Dr. Dre.
Features, though. Like, his records?
I remember there was a song, and this goes to how metrics, and sometimes metrics don't ever always make sense. I remember there was a song he had called Crack a Bottle. I think it was off of Relapse. And the sound, somehow that song made it to number one on Billboard.
Mm-hmm.
Don't nobody like that song.
I ain't heard it since the year it came out.
Yeah.
Demore, somebody liked it if it went to number one. Now, somehow
it speaks to the demographic that
it,
we're
buying. And it's, that demographic it speaks to the machine that was Interscope at that time.
Exactly. It's a machine.
It's not he doesn't make jams. He does not make jams for hip hop. People that generally enjoy hip hop. He just doesn't.
I think that's
really my only argument. He doesn't make stuff that I enjoy listening to that I just want to put on.
I think that's actually a accurate way to assess it, but it's also not hating.
When he was hopping on them 50 joints, he was sounding good.
True.
Yeah. Renegade. Yeah, he was smoking those.
Destroyed Renegade.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
the first song on 50 Cent's album.
Patiently Waiting. He went off on that song.
We were talking about features.
Yeah.
Snapped.
He goes off on every feature he's on.
3 minutes, so you need a whole 57 words.
That Drake song where everybody's on there when Eminem comes on at the end.
He had the best verse on that,
man. He murdered that song.
Facts.
So this is not a statement or a sentiment that he can't rap and he can't hold his own and he can't do stuff better than a lot of MCs, but it has nothing to do with being blacker than somebody that's black.
And Eminem feature is always going to be something that we got to check for.
Right. Have you guys noticed that Eminem, you rarely find an Eminem acapella because he mixes every feature that he's on. He has to mix it. I heard that the other day in the interview. I think it might have been Just Blaze that said he has to mix all of his features. He won't let anybody else touch it. So that's why you can't find a lot of his just stuff from him floating around because everything goes through him.
Maybe he should. I think Eminem would do good to take a killer mic approach.
Okay.
And have, I know No ID came in after the fact,
mm-hmm.
Killer Mike said they had like 40 songs or something and then they still made some more. But I, even though Eminem makes his own beats, I don't personally like them at all.
You can definitely tell an Eminem beat.
It's just not, everything's dark.
I mean, Renegade was dope.
And maybe that's part of his issue that I have with him is that he doesn't have jams because his beats are just not good typically, unless he's on a feature with somebody else's beat. But generally speaking, I think that he would do well to work, and people are going to say, oh, he worked with Dr. Dre. Yeah, he was good when he worked with Dr. Dre.
True.
But I think if he sat down, can you imagine an Eminem in a Primo project? Could you imagine Eminem in like a Pete Rock or Eminem in a Pharrell would be weird. I would not want to hear that.
I don't need that one, but the first two,
you know what I mean? Like, or Hit Boy like or something.
Hit Boy,
like
even. Keys.
You know, I don't know anybody, but.
But yeah. like something like that to where like, you know, he's pulled out of his world a little bit. And he's forced to make something that, you know, again, jams.
Yeah.
I think I would enjoy it.
I do think there's a chamber that he hasn't tapped into, to your point, especially from a production standpoint. You don't have to be a person that's a super creative or super artist or whatever to hear an Eminem beat and just know what the vibe is going to be. You can pick that up just being a casual fan.
I don't like Renegade because the beat sucks.
Renegade.
I hate that part with the
Renegade.
I think the chorus is terrible.
I don't like it, boy.
He destroyed that song though.
He did.
It was so cold that it made me be like, okay, you know what? I'm gonna just tolerate the beat because he bodied this record.
Imagine if the beat was good.
Well, we can't find acapellas
nowadays. In the days of AI,
I got this. Put it in Serato.
Serato, you can figure it out.
I forgot they do got that technology.
Yeah, come on, man.
And the thing is, it's not that the beat is like. I know I just said it's horrible and I don't like it. It's because I don't. But it's not that from a general standpoint that the beat is absolutely horrible.
Not trash.
No, it's not trash. But in reference to everything else that was on that project, it didn't. It stood out as not fitting to me. And again, I just don't like his production style. And I feel like
I think it did kind of fit because
I don't think so.
The album was called Blueprint. So essentially it was a blueprint of putting good stuff together.
Yeah, but the Blueprint was soulful, man. Like that beat stuck out.
That beat, did not feel.
It didn't sound like any of the other beats.
Yeah, I didn't feel like Hola Jovito from
Those are the two that didn't really fit.
And those weren't from in-house, because the in-house producers on there were Kanye and Just Blaze.
And Bink.
Bink.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So those were I agree with Timbaland and Eminem.
I like Timbaland's.
Renegade was an Eminem song first that featured Royce 5'9".
Yeah. Oh, really?
And Jay just wanted to hop on it, so they flipped it.
And it actually it actually sounds like that, especially when you hear what Terry just said. It sounds like Eminem record.
Yeah. No, it does.
You know what I'm saying? But either way, we not hate on Eminem.
No, we ain't.
But the part about the
Eminem the is black dope. Stuff let's is, let's get that out there. He's dope, but he just doesn't make music that I want to ride around to and vibe like that. He just doesn't. This is not me.
And I'm sorry, Kid Capri. You're wrong. You're just wrong.
You gonna call out the OG like that, man?
Look, man.
You're just mad because he's doing black stuff better than you are.
I think that's stupid.
I'm sorry, you don't say stuff like that out loud.
That's stupid.
Would you say, Lone, that's what Jay Moore's mad about?
Black stuff better than you, man.
That was the Italian side of Kid Capri that said that.
Wow. Well played.
Well played, Mike.
Very well.
All right.
Well, Tom got to try now.
Pip, pip, cheerio.
I feel like this character is going to resurface and on some more episodes.
I think that's that. All right.
I don't know what that was.
I don't know what he just said.
That was slurred.
Yeah.
I just my dialect was just right here. I want a pogo so I can put dents in it.
All right, man. So look, Long, did you see the... You see our suggestions, man. I'm going to have you go through them and...
Want me to pick something?
Pick what you think. And I got one queued up.
I only picked one because I only liked one of them, and we've already talked about it.
I love your friends when they tell the truth.
Let's see. Talib Kweli, Fear of...
Oh, he went off on somebody because
he
they...
He always goes
because,
off on somebody.
Fans were mad that they had to get a $4.99 subscription to that website to stream the album just for them to pull the album down. So they were chopping him up online because people
now it's on Bandcamp.
Exactly. People went through all that to get subscriptions, and he was defending himself saying go follow Kanye something. It was bleeped out. I couldn't even say what he said. Like, he brought Kanye up and he was just going back and forth.
Don't ever bring Kanye up if you're trying to defend yourself.
Bro, he was going back and forth with people that were calling him out for having them subscribe as fans. And he actually was one of the comments.
See, this is the problem when you become too much of a fanboy.
Who? You talking about
the person?
Not me. I'm talking about the people that were mad?
Yeah.
Okay.
You become too much of a fanboy. You pay for a subscription for this for you to listen to the album. But by this time, you should have listened to it, right? And now that it's off of that streaming service, it's now on Bandcamp. Bandcamp is a free service.
Well,
so it doesn't matter, right? In my personal opinion.
He said, nobody said you were obligated to support me. In fact, I said the exact opposite. I said, please don't support me because I don't want
you to
support me.
That's why none of us have listened to that album
yet. Yeah.
You should go support the Nazis, loving Ye instead, since you think he's right.
Yep. That's what I wrote.
Yeah, calm down, B.
You know he's mad at Kanye anyway.
So who are you lying
for? Kanye said about him.
Don't support me. Didn't you say we're leaving because you had better albums to listen to? So leave. Bye. You lie a lot. This is after somebody cooked him about the $4.99 subscription.
And so the person said, you sound crazy and like a simple-minded Stan slave following the narrative that they want you to believe to benefit solely themselves. What?
This person paid to hear that album. He definitely paid.
Black Star and Kweli asked us to pay for a subscription at Luminary to be able to stream their album, and they removed it. But we are obligated to support them. Bruh, please unplug yourself and see past to your stardom.
None of this makes any sense.
Yeah.
Nah, that argument doesn't even make sense, because if you paid for that, find fault with yourself for paying for that streaming service that nobody else is using. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, he's going.
Yeah. And then there's a big, long, multiple paragraph thing. I mean, it's like four paragraphs.
It's Kweli-esque.
And it starts off, I'm not your slave, white man.
Like our comment section.
So really, I don't owe you an explanation for any MFing thing.
He explained a whole lot. I don't get it.
And then he continues, calm yourself. What Luminary paid me is none of your business. They paid us fairly for 3 months by letting y'all hear it, not owning it, hearing it on their platform. We kept up without taking it down for 7 additional months without striking new deals because we are kind-hearted
and gracious. They hurt themselves by using Luminary.
Man, can you imagine? All the people that didn't listen to this project
that would have listened to the project,
they would have made the money up.
Yes.
Yeah.
They hurt themselves by using that.
Hey, Lone, I feel like me and you in a book club now. Now, a year later, we have made this album available for sale on another platform because we effing felt like it. So if you want to buy it, buy it. If you don't. What do you say? If you don't F.
Why are you crying about it?
Yeah, why are you crying about it?
I don't care.
Do you go to Spotify to stream an album and then demand that the artist give you the album for free somewhere else? No, you don't do that to anyone but Black Star. We don't make this music for you. Wow. He don't have any type of PR.
We make it for our own mental health, obviously.
And most Def ain't going to say nothing.
He ain't going to say a word about this, is he?
He's going to pay that child support.
Bro, at the end of the day, we said from the beginning that this was not the vibe. I mentioned on the show that we talked about, I said, just put it up on Bandcamp, tag a price on it, let the people get it, and let's just rock out. I'd have went on there and bought it.
To only for Quali's defense.
Okay.
Just a little bit.
All right.
I can appreciate the fact that they tried to make a deal for themselves that was better than what the streaming platforms face, because we all know that they don't pay anything and it's just getting worse realistically.
Okay.
I can appreciate that, but at the same time, this is the backlash that you get from that, where you have a whole bunch of fans that have adapted a way of listening to stuff that have never listened to your project. It's just what it is. And so, yes, people are going to lash out. People are going to be upset. And then when you do something like this, like bring it back to a platform months later when they thought that the only way that they were going to be able to get it was through Luminary, yes, you're going to piss people off, and it pissed people off. You have to eat that as an artist.
You have to eat that.
Like, you can't be in here crying back and forth and arguing with somebody who has a legitimate argument for that. That's a fan. Like, I don't know. It seems misguided.
With your fans, you know.
It seems misguided to me. And so, like, I can appreciate some of it. And yes, they can do whatever they want with their project, but like, grow up.
And clearly a bigger fan than me or basically anybody at this table, because we still haven't listened to the album.
I've said many times on this show that Black Star was the reason that I became a fan of hip hop. I listened to it before, but I became a fan because of Black Star.
You've always said that.
And I did not go to reach this out. And I'm a hip hop connoisseur of doing this stuff. I was not interested in signing up for this. It didn't interest me enough to want to do that. You have a lot of people like that. Mm. It's just what it is. And so, yes, I'm sure a lot of people did sign up, and I'm sure they made their money, and that's great. But this type of back and forth is just too much.
Yeah. Well, how does he have the energy to do this?
I don't know.
He's known for doing good for you.
Like, he's to been worry this that person. Much. If we were like that and we're battling back and forth with everybody in the comment section, I don't have the time or the desire.
These are multiple paragraphs.
This
isn't like, hey,
Lone's looking at the screenshot.
He's a little butthurt about it.
Yeah. You could tell he's really bothered. Like, this bothered him that Buddy came at him like that. He's definitely bothered. But these paragraphs, like, going back and forth like this with the people that have, you know, helped you ascend to where you are.
They kind of whack, too, honestly.
I think it goes both ways?
I think it's like to be this upset because they're re-releasing it on Bandcamp. Like,
yeah, that's
come
whack.
On. Like,
thought it was a secret society that you had to pay admission and nobody could ever hear it unless, come on, that's lame.
Is there a way, or is there a standard or a precedent, I should say, as it relates to how you should respond to your fans?
Obama. Oh, you said, is there a president? I'm sorry.
President. I said president. I ain't say president.
I didn't say president.
Here you go. You knew you was about to co-sign.
And actually, I was going to correct you, but
why you ain't correct me?
I'll let you slide.
Why would you not correct me?
Because
I did.
Yeah, he did. So
no, good. You actually was clowning me. That's what he was.
That's still
spoke. Thank you. I feel better. Go ahead, man.
No, I don't know if there's.
Thank you.
Quali can respond however Quali wants to respond.
True.
It's just that this is what you're going to get, is you're going to get us who don't care about this at all that are talking about it. You know, it's like, why are we talking about this? You know,
listen to the album?
We're talking about it because we're talking heads and we're on a podcast. We're talking about it. But outside of that, like, if I was just a fan, I would just be like, bro, just put the music out. I don't know. Like, put it, you just be like, I'm sorry.
Where's
apologize
the,
or something. I don't know.
Where's
I
the
just
link?
Don't care
what
that
do you
much.
Want me to do?
Yeah.
I don't care that much.
So I just,
'cause if you really liked it and you had that access to it, you paid for,
right?
I'd have my own version of this anyway. Somehow I would have already figured out how to get it for myself.
Exactly. I could have gotten this album if I wanted.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, like anybody can get anything. It's not that hard.
No, it's not.
So,
you know, for $4.99, whatever you paid on Luminary, I don't know if it's monthly or one time, but look, you got your exclusivity. You were one of the people that could actually make comments on what this album sounded like, because, of course, we didn't listen.
So. I didn't hear anybody say it was like super great.
It was like that.
I've heard the opposite. I heard it wasn't all that spectacular.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know.
This is from fans.
But again, I don't have an opinion on this because I didn't listen. So
I haven't heard anybody
that
rave about it.
That ship has sailed.
Yeah. Moment's over, bro.
Sunk.
I mean, it's on Bandcamp now, so maybe I'll listen to it. Maybe.
Yeah.
If I feel like it.
If I feel like it. But
yeah. Jim, you sound like the wave has passed.
It's one of these things where it's like,
if it was that great, I there would be people within my circle who say, yo, you need to drop that $4.99.
Exactly.
It would have been one of us.
Look, just like, you know, I saw that the Killer Mike said there's going to be some physical media for this album, and I'm going to buy it.
100%.
Yeah.
I'm going to get a CD or a vinyl.
Hopefully I can get one signed.
Yeah.
And to your point, about, you know, how do you conduct yourself with fans? As a fan, this puts me off to not even care even more to want to check it out. It's just kind of like, yeah, sure, I'm a fan of Yasin. I'm a fan of Madlib, but I haven't really been a fan of Quali for a long time, and none of this makes me even...
Doesn't help, does it?
Probably not since Eardrum, honestly.
It's been a long time.
That's been a long time. Eardrum was...
He did drop some records with his kids, some videos that were pretty decent that I liked.
I didn't get a chance to see those.
Eardrum is the last body of work from Quali that I appreciated.
And he hasn't helped his standing with his Twitter, call it. Well, when he was on there. I think the one I showed was from
sometimes,
IG.
Sometimes it's like you don't want to meet the people that are making the art.
Yeah, that really is a thing to where, like, man, I just do not want. Like, I remember when I got an opportunity to meet Common.
Yeah.
I was like, do I really want to meet Common?
Mm.
Like, what if he is a complete jerk?
Yeah.
Yep.
Smells like...
What if he's like Pete Rock?
Oh, man.
I heard Pete Rock's a really nice guy.
I met him in New York. He actually was cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
His online persona is not.
Yeah, I got a chance to meet him when he came here too for the...
No, he just met him. He was quick really enough cool. to sign something, but
you know, he did sign up Soul Survivor, took a picture, but it was the person who was there taking pictures, so I never got
actually,
a picture.
He actually pulled me to the side and gave me some advice and was actually cool. So
like, he seems like in all the interactions.
He went off
that
on loan the next day.
Yeah.
But, shout out to Ice Standard, man. I was at Beast of the Beast, and he gave me some game. So that interaction was dope. Now I don't know what's going on with the internet.
Yeah.
Saying, but all right, man. He's still OG, still a legend. All right, man. Let's see. Shout out to the chat. They still in here. Appreciate y'all for sticking around with us. Is there anything else I missed or you gentlemen want to say before we get a chance to ride out?
That's more. All
right.
And on that note,
this is going to be a retired thing, I think.
NewOldHeads.com for all the education you need this year. If you see it, like it, subscribe, thumbs up. Check out our Patreon as well. Do we have
new vinyl,
the Freddie Gibbs album?
It's all sold separately. We're giving that away. If you sign up anytime before the end of July, then you will have a chance to get this as we raffle them off at the end of July. So that's what's up right now.
Dope project. So this would be a good one to have on wax. We appreciate the support as always. Shout out to the chat. We'll see y'all next week. Peace.
Yeah.